J-O-V-E-L.
What is it? Is it?
Which is, yep, Jubilee. From Pentecost to Jubilee. Yovel, Y-O-V-E-L. Yep. Read Acts 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 11, and then we'll go to chapter 2, verse 1. I wrote the first volume, Theophilus, about all that Yeshua began to do and teach, up to the day he was taken up, after he had given orders by the Ruach HaKodesh to the emissaries he had chosen. To them he showed himself to be alive after his suffering through many convincing proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Now while staying with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father promised, which he said, "You heard from me, for John immersed with water, but you will be immersed in the Ruach HaKodesh not many days from now." So when they gathered together, they asked him, "Adonai, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?" He said to them, "It is not your place to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control. But you will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, through all Judah and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." After saying all this, while they were watching, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they were staring into heaven as he went up, suddenly two men stood with them in white clothing. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you keep standing here staring into heaven? This Yeshua, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." It's interesting, isn't it, that which this has got nothing to do with what we're talking about, but he was appearing to them for 40 days speaking about the kingdom of God. And it just kind of shows you how much there is to understand and know about the kingdom of God. And he spent the 40 days, and that was his emphasis, was the kingdom of God. And then, of course, when he goes up to the mountain, it's time to leave, they ask him, "When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Mm. So obviously he never answered that question.
Mm.
But he was focusing them on the kingdom of God and what it was about, and who knows what he was saying in those 40 days that he hadn't already said in all his parables and everything else. But this,
obviously they still weren't grasping.
They still weren't grasping, mm. Yep. Yep, so it is, it does, when you come to understand something of it, you wonder why the emphasis in Christianity is always heaven. Mm. It's never the kingdom of God, it's always about heaven. And heaven even gets lost in today's sermons anyway. It's all about yourself and how well you can do. But yeah, it is just so in your face all the time that everything is about the kingdom of God, and there is really not much effort to think about what is this kingdom of God about? What does it mean? What's he talking about? Chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. When the day of Shavuot had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak in other tongues as the Ruach enabled them to speak out. So Jehovah said, the promise will come. And when he does come, this is what will happen to you. And in chapter 2, it happened. Leviticus 25, verses 1 to 17.
That once you become a believer, you have to speak in tongues.
I don't think so. I think
such an emphasis that if you didn't get baptized in the Spirit, you're like such a loser of a believer.
Yeah, well, I think it's important, but I don't think you have to speak in tongues to say I'm filled with the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody can speak in other tongues.
Okay.
I think there needs to be an emphasis on the fact that. Yeah, but again, it's another thing. But yeah, I think that ability is there.
Mm-hmm.
Leviticus which?
25, 1 to 17. Then Jehovah said to Moses on Mount Sinai, "Speak to Bnei Israel, sons of Israel, and tell them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land is to keep a Shabbat to Jehovah. For 6 years you may sow your field, and for 6 years you may prune your vineyard and gather in its fruits. But in the seventh year there is to be a Shabbat rest for the land, a Shabbat to Jehovah. You are not to sow your field or prune your vineyard. You are not to reap what grows by itself during your harvest, nor gather the grapes of your untended vine. It is to be a year of Shabbat rest for the land. Whatever the Shabbat of the land produces will be food for yourself, for your servant, for your maidservant, for your hired worker, for the outsider dwelling among you, even for your livestock and for the animals that are in your land. All its increase will be enough food. You are to count off 7 Shabbatot of years, Shabbatot of years, 7 times 7 years, so that the time is 7 Shabbatot of years, 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month, on Yom Kippur, you are to sound a shofar blast. You are to sound the shofar all throughout your land. You are to make the 50th year set apart, and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. It is to be a jubilee, a yovel to you. And when each of you is to return to his own property, and each of you is to return to his family, that 50th year will be your yovel. You are not to sow or reap that which grows by itself, or gather from the untended vines, since it is a jubilee. It is to be set apart to you. You will eat from its increase out of the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you will return to his property." So, which is an amazing thing in itself, because you get 2 Sabbath years in a row on a jubilee. They're not allowed to sow or reap or gather on the 49th year, and they're not allowed to do it on the 50th year. So it becomes even a bigger commitment than all the other 7th years.
The 51st year, you won't get crops for the 52nd year.
Correct, yes.
So they have to really trust for 3 years of food.
Yeah. Verse 14. "If you sell anything to your neighbour or buy from your neighbour, you are not to wrong one another. Corresponding to the number of years after the jubilee, you are to purchase land from your neighbour's hand. He is to sell it to you based on the number of years of crops. In proportion to the extent of years, you may increase its price or decrease its price in proportion to the fewness of years, because he is selling a number of harvests to you. You are not to cheat one another, but fear your Elohim, for I am Jehovah, your Elohim."
It's interesting, just as an aside there, that that little section there about how to value the land is basically how they still today value a business for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. On how much it's going to produce for you over the next number of years.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm.
So should we do that, Hebron? I mean, you don't have crops, but...
We don't have crops any rate.
Fruit's not the same.
Mm.
And it only, and really it.
It's a better for me every year. Yeah, papers and fruit trees. Planting in those.
And it is literally a command that's based in the land of Israel.
Oh, so not.
It's not incumbent upon every other nation. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
But they didn't do it, did they? Or they did.
No, they didn't do it.
Never did it.
So never had giving back the land to the guys who...
And they were actually going to Jubilee.
What a shame. Was it Isaiah or Ezekiel?
Jeremiah.
They've never given the land its rest.
Yep. They'd never given their 7-year honoured or obeyed the 7-year commandment. And so that was the basis of their length of captivity and exile in Babylon. 70 years, which was 70 sabbatical years, which was 490 years they hadn't honoured it for. Mm.
And four sabbats.
So Jehovah said, I will give the land its rest for 490 years. It wasn't given its rest, and so now each, you spend 70 years in captivity as one of the reasons. That wasn't the reason why they were sent to captivity, but it was the basis of the length of the captivity.
Okay.
70 years. Yeah.
I think the marriage, the Shabbat years, to, you know, what's traditionally called Kamuviyoma.
That's 50 days. Yep.
That you have in between
the feasts.
Of course it's
there. And as we understand and we appreciate that nothing ever stands alone, and everything is always connected to everything else. Every feast and every command that revolves around all the feasts and these things which aren't feasts, but they're sabbatical requirements, and they're all connected. They're all part of the same plan, same pattern, same picture. They're there to increase and give understanding to that which Jehovah is wanting to plant into hearts and minds and implement into understanding of his program for humanity over 6,000 years until the 7,000th year comes. And all of these things are all integrated to give a whole picture. And if you eliminate one of them, then you miss part of the whole and the understanding of why it's there. It's not an irrelevant piece of information. It's part of the information that connects the dots, and it's information that tells us something about what the kingdom is like. And so it has relevance to understanding and knowledge, and it gives greater basis and purpose for why we honour, worship Jehovah, because he's telling us the benefits and the future and the blessing and the purpose is all pictured in these things. And if we don't have some basis of appreciation of them, then we lose the message that they contain about what this kingdom is going to be like, which we're not looking at or going into, but we have highlighted it on plenty of times, that the kingdom is going to be like a jubilee year, and it's part of the message of what his kingdom is about. And the story of the kingdom of God fills the entire book from Genesis to Revelation. It's about the kingdom. Jehovah is wanting to impart understanding of what was lost in the Garden of Eden is going to be restored in the millennial kingdom reign. And that is the beginning of the great restoration. And there is no Shavuot without Yuvel, and no Yuvel without Shavuot. They're all part of each other. They're all part of the same picture of festivals and Sabbaths of various kinds, and they complement each other and they speak to each other. And so without Yuvel and without Shavuot, there's no kingdom. So without either of them, something of that message is lost. And if you lose Shavuot and if you lose Yuvel, Jubilee, then you've lost some picture and understanding of the kingdom and its purpose. So the Ruach had to come to establish kingdom truth in our hearts and to establish kingdom power and authority in our lives. And Shavuot is about the Spirit coming. Yeshua said, if I don't go, the Spirit of Jehovah won't come and take my place. And Shavuot is about the Ruach coming to establish kingdom truth, kingdom principle, kingdom life, kingdom power, kingdom ability to live our lives above the pressures of the world and the pressures of life, so that we're not forced by community standards, we're not forced by changing world opinions to live like the world says now we must live, which is what is trying to be enforced upon us when it comes to homosexuality, gay marriage, when it comes to all of these kinds of thing, all of these things are the world's way, Satan's way of forcing those things upon humanity, whether they want it or not. And if you take an opposing view, then you are blacklisted one way or another. And so when it comes to the Spirit of Jehovah indwelling humanity, he has come to impart Torah truth and kingdom principle, and also the power and the strength and the authority to live above those pressures and to make these principles more important than the ones that the world tries to enforce upon everybody and silence everybody who has a different viewpoint. And so this celebration, this Shavuot and Jubilee, or Shavuot, is the precursor to the fullness of the kingdom being established in the whole earth. The kingdom via the Ruach, Shavuot, has been established in our hearts. And his kingdom is alive in our hearts, and the principles of his kingdom and the empowering of his kingdom in this small degree is alive in our hearts. And Shavuot becomes the precursor to Jubilee, the fullness of the kingdom, that is picturing his kingdom not only in the nation of Israel, which is picturing his kingdom at work in the whole earth. And so in verse 2 of that Leviticus 25, it said, "Speak to the sons of Israel and tell them, when you come into the land which I give you, then the land is to keep a Shabbat to Jehovah." And so the land that I give you, the land is to keep a Shabbat. So not only was all Israel meant to keep the Sabbaths, but also the land is meant to keep its Sabbaths unto Jehovah. And so the land of Israel is no ordinary land because of the way it is talked about and described in Scripture by Jehovah here in this passage and lots of others. It's a Sabbath land, a Yovel, a Jubilee land, and which means that it is the center of the kingdom of God on earth, of all his creation, of this world which he has put in place, that this piece of land has become the center of the kingdom that will fill the whole earth one day. And so all attention is focused on this piece of land as being a Sabbath land, a Jubilee land, a Shavuot land, and it is to become the centerpiece, the very government from which everything in the whole earth will be, as we know, from this piece of land. And so it's Jehovah's land, and he's given it to Israel as custodians of it for him and for his kingdom. So Israel, all the nations, that kingdom nations, city nations, small nations, and the nations that were inhabiting Canaan at the time, it was taken off of them and it was given to the descendants of Abraham. And so this people have become the custodians of this piece of land for Jehovah and for his kingdom. And it's a land of inheritance, a land of rest, a land of promise, a land of shalom. And we know the story that Jehovah said, if you obey my commandments, if you honor me in the way that I have asked you to honor me, this land will be like none other. And every nation will be jealous of what you're got. And you will never get sick. It's an amazing thing. No one will ever attack you. No one will cross your borders. Nothing will ever go wrong. This will be a picture of the kingdom of heaven that will one day fill the whole earth. It is a special Shabbat land. And this land must be a place of rest, a place of faith, a place of trust, a place of belief, a place of modeling what it means to serve the Creator and the Creator to honour you who serve Him. And it will be just a masterpiece of witness and testimony to every nation on planet Earth of who I am and how I treat people who love me. So it is quite an amazing thing. In it, every family was given a portion of land, a place to dwell, a place to live permanently. And they can't sell it, they can't give it away, they can't use it dishonestly to gain an advantage over their brother. And it's a kingdom land that belongs to Jehovah. And their place was assured in it forever. And it could never ever belong to anyone else. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, gives us a description of what this land is like. The word which Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. It will come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Jehovah's house will stand firm as head of the mountains and will be exalted above the hills. So all nations will flow to it. Then many peoples will go and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of Jehovah, to the house of the Elohim of Jacob. Then he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For Torah will go forth from Zion, and the word of Jehovah from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and decide for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war any more. Come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of Jehovah. So that's Jerusalem's purpose, that's Zion's purpose, that is the nation of Israel's purpose. And it is this land that has a Shabbat every seventh year because it gives honor and recognition unto Jehovah. And it's the same as our Sabbath. Every seventh day is a Sabbath set aside, a day blessed and a day which honors him and gives recognition to him as the great Creator, the giver of rest, the giver of peace, the giver of life, the giver of the one who takes away all stress and all worry and brings peace, complete peace, knowing that everything is completely and absolutely provided for, that we will never ever be in any way disadvantaged or left to our own devices if we put our trust and faith in him and honor his ways. Then the Sabbath gives recognition to that fact and to faith in that and to trust in that. And here the land of Israel has to have its Shabbat because it's painting the same picture. It's a Shabbat year. It's every seventh year. And saying this is a picture of Jehovah's, this is his land, and this land will bless you. This land will prosper you if you honor me and show the rest of the nations what it means to walk according to my commandments. And if you walk as a nation, this land will be blessed. This land will be honored. And if you will allow this land to lay fallow for 7 years, for 1 year, then I will demonstrate to the rest of the world how I will provide for you for 3 years out of 1 year, and that how you will be a blessed nation. And things will happen in this land and this nation that will happen in no other land the way it is. And so it demonstrates that this land is a chosen land, this people is a chosen nation, this people is a blessed people, and the sons of this land will always have my favor resting upon their lives. And I will demonstrate it and reveal it as this land is demonstrated to the rest of the world and to yourselves as well, that this is a land that is designed, located, and honored and given to you to demonstrate that this is Jehovah's land. And it is a blessed land. and it is a year that's blessed, the same way as the Sabbath day is blessed. And so it becomes part of the whole cycle of demonstration. The Jewish nation are Sabbath keepers, and the nation, the land of Israel itself, is Sabbath keeping land. And in the demonstration of that, Jehovah does things for those people that defies imagination and understanding of how this little people, inconsequential in world terms, can be so resilient, so blessed, so savvy, so enriched, so able to confound the world as to their very existence and to their very capabilities to be rich, to be probably above the rest of the world when it comes to being having recognized men and women to receive the accolades and the honor of the rest of the world for their achievements. And how much greater would this be if they had honored that which God had said they honored, and yet they are still being honored beyond what is normal for such a small percentage of people in the earth. So the land must keep its Sabbaths unto Jehovah, because it's a land of complete rest, complete peace, complete shalom, complete prosperity in a sovereign supernatural way, because Jehovah will do it.
Because it never, still never has though.
No, never has. No. So and because it never has, because they haven't kept the commandments the way they are meant to be kept, they paid the price. And what is happening today is part of the end time plan, but what has happened for several thousand years was because of not just because they didn't keep the Sabbath, but because they became idolatrous and worshipped the world around them, and they wanted to be like the nations around them. They wanted to have their own king, and they wanted to interact, and they wanted to trade, and they wanted to live, and just all went south. So that became the basis for the reasons why they were exiled, and all the prophetic utterances of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Amos and Joel and all of them, that they were going to suffer greatly at the hands of the nations around them, because they become lovers of the nations around them. Paid a great price. Verse 4 of that Leviticus 25 says, but in the seventh year there is to be a Shabbat rest for the land, a Shemitah, a Shabbat to Jehovah. You are not to sow your field or to prune your vineyard. So every seventh year is a year of complete rest, a year of complete trust and rest in Jehovah. So that becomes a real challenge. I can understand that. If your wheat crops and all your crops is your livelihood, and your vineyards and everything else is your livelihood, and here Jehovah says to this nation, you are not to plant anything, you are not to reap anything that grows of itself, as in harvesting it for your own income. No, you can eat from it,
and your neighbor
can eat from it, and the strangers can eat from it, and your animals can eat from it, and what it produces of itself will sustain you for 3 years, or what the year before plus what is coming up, it will keep you for that length of time. And of course it's pointing to the ultimate goal of the kingdom, which is to come and fill the whole earth. It's not just a thing on its own. It has a purpose. It has a reason that Jehovah's doing this, and this seventh year, and how they plant nothing, but the next year they will plant, and then it'll take the next year for it to be reaped again. He is saying this is picturesque of the kingdom that is to come. I'm going to be the one who provides and blesses and prospers the whole earth. That is my plan. That is my ideal. That is what I'm wanting to show the world, that no matter what has been lost, no matter how wicked and evil and bad man has become, the goal is I'm going to produce again in the world what Israel is experiencing and seeing. So this sabbatical year was pointing to the ultimate goal of the kingdom on earth. And so all human endeavor and striving and walking in faith to the covenant promise, as told in the Torah and found in Yeshua, was set in place. So the sabbatical year was saying, lay aside all works of the flesh, all endeavors of providing for yourself. Lay aside every effort of being your, taking care of everything, because I will take care of everything for you. That's my promise. You do not have to do a thing to be fed, to be looked after, and to be taken care of. And so it's a walk in faith. All striving is finished. All self-sustaining is not necessary. And so this is the truth of covenant promise. I have covenanted with you to be your God and to take care of you, and I'll demonstrate it every seventh year of how this will work. And so we're meant to take our eye off the natural, off the world, off the temporal, off the seasonal, the needs of the flesh, and to focus on the eternal kingdom. And that's the message he's trying to get across to humanity and to the nation of Israel and to all who become partakers with him. He's saying, you know, just take your eye off the seasons and saying, that is my life source. Don't be like the man that says, wow, what a great bumpy year. I'll build barns and I'll eat, drink and be merry for many years. I'll be satisfied because of my great endeavors. It's the wrong mindset and the wrong purpose. And Yeshua said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be taken care of. Your needs will be met. And I'm quite sure in his mind he's relating this to his Shavuot. He's relating this to his seventh year sabbaticals, to his Jubilees. He's saying, seek first the kingdom. You're like a Gentile. You worry about your food. You worry about your clothing. You worry about your next dollar. You worry about how you're going to sustain yourself, look after yourself. You're concerned about everything that you don't need to be concerned about. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. I'm sure he's focusing him on the truth of what the seven-year sabbaticals, the Shemitah and the Yovel and the Shavuot, are all trying to focus people's attention on, saying, the great creator knows your need. The great creator understands humanity and flesh. And he's saying, I want you to become one with me in my kingdom, because a day is coming when everything will be reversed as you understand it today. And the curse that's come upon the earth will be taken away and you will be blessed. It becomes the message of Shemitah, the seventh year Sabbath. It becomes the message of Yovel, Jubilee, at the 50th year. And so the whole purpose of these things within the scripture is to help us keep focused on the truth that our Jehovah is a sabbatical Jehovah, one who blesses the day, blesses the year, blesses the life of those who will put their trust in him and walk in faith and not allow the natural to take over our lives, but in the midst of the pressures of life to say, his kingdom is at work in my heart and my life. Shavuot has brought the spirit of Jehovah into my heart and life to enable me to trust him first, and he will take care of all those things in my life that I put into his hands. And so the Shemitah, the seventh year, is called a Sabbath, because every Sabbath, be it a seven-day Sabbath or a seven-year Sabbath, is always pointing back to the creation and its creator, and pointing us forward to his millennial kingdom, a kingdom of Jehovah's reign, of shalom, of peace, of perfection and restoration of all things, that every seventh year is trying to convey that message. And then in verse 8, it says you are to count off seven Shabbatot of years, seven times 7 years, so that the time is seven Shabbatot of years, 49 years. Then on the 10th day of the 7th month on Yom Kippur, you proclaim that the next year is the 50th year, Yovel, a Jubilee year. And so this passage is about Jubilee, Yovel, and how to get there, the importance of getting there, and what it represents. He's trying to say, I want you to get to the 50th year. I want you to get to the Jubilee, because in the Jubilee year, your land is going to be restored to you. All slaves are going to be set free. All debts are going to be forgiven. It's going to be a year of when everything is restored back to its original owners. Everyone who has lost land because they were in so much debt or they couldn't look after themselves or had to sell it off. And of course, as we know, you can't sell your land. You can only lease it for a period of time. That's all that was allowed. And now the 50th year is the focus. And so every seventh year was trying to get them focused on the 50th year. How do I get to the 50th year? By honouring every seventh year. Every seventh year keeps on focusing me on the 50th year. That midway between the 50th year, after two Sabbaths, I had to sell my land and move off my home because I couldn't afford to live for whatever reason. My husband was killed in war. My sons were died in war, whatever. And here I am on my own. I've got one son and my husband's gone and now I have to sell my place to survive, or I have to go into slavery or sell myself to another Jew in order to survive and live. Whatever the ramifications and reasons that people had to do this, then they would say, but the 50th year is coming in three more Shabbats, in three more Shemitahs. There'll be a Jubilee and it will be restored to me. And all of this, so this Shemitah is focusing people on the 50th year. It's an encouragement. It is something that gives them hope and something that says, I won't lose what I lost forever. It will be returned and restored to me, is etc., etc. And so this Shemitah is saying that there is a Jubilee coming, and it focuses us on how to get there and the importance of getting there and what it represents. And for us today, the point of importance is the connection between Shemitah and Yovel, that is the Sabbath years and the Jubilee. And so these two Torah requirements define the purpose and the timeline of the kingdom of heaven. And you shall count for yourself seven cycles of Sabbath years. You count for yourself seven cycles of Sabbath years so that you can get to the Jubilee and have everything restored. And of course, the message becomes that we are always counting off our cycles of Sabbaths so that we may not lose out on the kingdom, that we may not sell our soul to the world or to its pressures or to other religions or to anything else that will lose our focus on the truth of what the millennial kingdom and the bride and the body of Yeshua is all about. So it is this message of saying the Jubilee is coming, the Jubilee is coming. Don't lose sight of it. Don't lose track of it. Every seventh year, there's a reminder. Every Shavuot, there's a reminder. So 7 years, seven times, equals 49 years. Then Yovel. That's a long time to keep focused on a truth that only comes around once in a lifetime. For 50 years, each 7 years, you have to keep yourself focused. But you only see Yovel once a lifetime. Like if two, well, but it didn't come in till Moses' day.
Oh, yeah,
didn't exist till Moses' day.
That was still what, within
No, Moses lived to 120, and then it just kept going down from there. So if you're lucky, you would see two Yuvals. If you saw one in your early years, then you could live to see the next one. But it's a long time to keep yourself focused on getting your property back or restoring or debt being forgiven and all of these kinds of things. And so it is...
A long time to live as a slave.
It is. So, but I think slavery was every 7 years.
They don't treat you like a slave?
Not if you're a Jew to a Jew, no. No, there was different requirements. But it doesn't mean to say they didn't. Yeah, because they did. But Jehovah has this long-term ultimate objective kept constantly in the forefront of our minds and in focus with Shavuot. So it's not a matter of saying, well, every 7 years I'm focused because it's pointing me to 50th year. But to break that down into a smaller thing, Shavuot, as in Shemitah, requires that we count a cycle of seven Sabbaths, which equals 49 days, and the next day is Shavuot, the 50th day. And so it's nice to think that even though there is this long-term 50-year vision you have to have, and if you've got to wait 7 years for debt to be released or servants to be set free, and then you've got to wait till seven of those to get to the bigger promise of land being restored and other things coming into play, then it can be difficult to keep your mind focused over 7 year periods, let alone a 50-year period. So what does he throw in between? A Shavuot, which happens every year. So we have Sabbaths, which is every week, to help keep focused. Then you have a Shavuot every year to help keep you focused. And the way of calculating is exactly the same for all of them. So he says, after you have first fruits on Passover, then you count seven sets of Sabbaths. And after seven sets of Sabbaths, you've got 49 days. And the next day, you celebrate Pentecost, the 50th, Shavuot. And so the picture is identical. It's exactly the same. And it's there for the same reason, pointing to the same purpose, to try and get us focused on to the kingdom so that we don't lose hope. We don't lose focus. We don't lose and allow life to take over and to rob us of what the goal is. The kingdom, the second coming, the sound of the trumpet, the graves opening, the dead in Yeshua rising, and the truth of revelations and the letters to the seven communities saying, if you are an overcomer, if you will deal with these issues, and if you will keep putting me first and honour who I am, then you shall be clothed in white. All the promises that come through those seven ones, and you shall rule and reign in my kingdom, etc. And again, it just highlights to me the truth that 90% of all people that follow any of this count that Sabbath day of the special Sabbath of the waving of the Omer as being the day after that is when you start counting your seven Sabbaths. But you can't. Because if that falls on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or on the second or third or fourth or fifth day of the week, they're not Sabbaths. You're not counting Sabbaths. You're counting every fourth day, 7 days, every fourth day, every fourth day, every fourth day. You're not counting Sabbaths. And the scripture says you count Sabbaths. You have to count Sabbaths. So far as I'm concerned, our way of calculating is the correct way of calculating. Because you have to count Sabbaths. And if you're not counting Sabbaths, then you are not following the scriptural pattern. And
you're not counting, like it's not coinciding or marrying up with the
Sabbath years.
The Sabbath years.
Yes.
The Shemitah
years.
Yes. Yep. Because then you're counting days.
Then you're counting days. Every fourth day of each week.
Yeah, so then it's
discounting Omar, which is not the message.
Yes, no. It's counting. It's the Feast of Weeks.
Yeah.
Yep. It does say count the days in a different passage, but it's prefaced by this of counting the weeks, and you have to count seven Sabbaths. So seven Sabbaths from that particular Sabbath in Passover has to coincide, which brings you to the right point to celebrate Shavuot. And if it's to tie in and to fit in and to lock in with the other commandments of Shemitah and Yovel, seven-year Sabbaths and Jubilees, then it has to be the same, because Jehovah is, well, to me it appears that Jehovah is saying, I have the micro in Shavuot pointing to the macro in Jubilee. So the little things that you do every week and every year is pointing to the bigger one, so you don't forget, because you can forget 7 years, you can forget 50 years, life can just overcome you. But if you're doing it as a community every week, if you're doing it as a community every year, you're heading off to Jerusalem to celebrate it, then it helps keeps you focused on the seventh year, the bigger picture. And Jehovah is wanting to take humanity through that 6,000 year period of humanity to the 7,000th year of the kingdom being established. And he's put in place a pattern that helps us to identify with it, so that we may not just be focused on feasts, but we're focused on where the feasts are leading us, to the bigger picture of Yovel, of the kingdom being established. Doesn't matter how many Yovels it takes, we've got a lot of Shavuots to keep us on the journey and to help keep us encouraged and focused on the truth of what it's all about. So Shavuot, which is what we're today, was the imparting of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of Jehovah, that helps us and enables us to live Torah kingdom lives, and doing it in the name of Yeshua. And so he poured out his Spirit upon the apostles. As he departed and left 10 days later, the Spirit comes, so that the kingdom of Jehovah may be imparted into their lives, and that the Ruach himself, the Spirit of Jehovah himself, helps us and enables us and empowers us to live Torah kingdom lives. And the Ruach, as we know, he leads, he guides, he comes alongside, he imparts, he empowers, he supports, he prays, he works with us to help us stay on track until that day arrives, or until our life ends, so that we don't lose out on what the greatness of the promise within. So the Ruach of Jehovah is the kingdom within us. Because the kingdom is not about a government. The kingdom is about the Creator, the King. It is about the one who loves us, who created us, who gave us life. And his kingdom is about him ruling and reigning in the earth and in life. And so the Ruach himself is the one who has brought kingdom life into our hearts. Jehovah dwells within us, called the Ruach. And it's not the third person of the Trinity. It is Jehovah himself indwelling us. It is Jehovah himself giving us a foretaste of the kingdom which is to come. So Shavuot is foretasting the kingdom, pouring out his empowerment, pouring out the capacity to understand Torah and to walk Torah and to live Torah and to be empowered by it, for it and through it, so that we may then have that hope that dwells within for the greater kingdom which is to come, which will fill the whole earth, not just human hearts of those who are willing and wanting to. And so there is no kingdom of Elohim without the Ruach filling hearts and lives. and giving it its life and eternal nature that is within. And so ruling and reigning is about Jehovah himself indwelling humanity. When Jehovah breathed the Ruach into Adam and Adam became a living soul, the very eternal nature of Jehovah himself became the life source of Adam. Adam's life source was Jehovah himself. The Ruach was breathed into him. So the spirit of life, the spirit of Jehovah, the eternal nature of what Jehovah is, indwelt man. And so Shavuot is about that same principle. Spiritually, the spirit was outpoured because as Romans 8 tells us, Paul tells us, if we do not have the Ruach dwelling within us, we are not the sons of God. We do not have eternal life. We do not have the eternal promise of the kingdom of ruling and reigning and serving the purposes of Jehovah in that kingdom. It's for the select. It's for the chosen. It's for the elect. It's for those to whom the covenant was made alone, for nobody else. And the Ruach at Shavuot is the whole picture of that truth in its microcosm of that taking place in a human heart, so that it becomes the very encouragement to believe that he will take us on to Yavel, to the bigger kingdom that fills the whole nation of Israel and that ultimately fills the whole earth. And Shavuot enables us to say, well, yep, in Passover, salvation came, redemption came, the payment of sin became, the promise of the resurrection came, but to get you there, you have the Shavuot, and the Shavuot, the Ruach will be outpoured in 50 days, and the kingdom will come in 50th Yuval, whatever. And so everything ties everything together. Nothing stands alone. Everything works together to create one big picture of the heartbeat of Jehovah and the encouragement to be focused upon the truth. And we cannot be focused on the truth, and we cannot keep the strength of mind to be focused on these things other than by the Spirit himself. And we need the Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to focus us, and to impart the life of Jehovah into our hearts and lives. Otherwise, we just fall back to the flesh all the time, and we walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And so Shavuot is there to help us to walk in the Spirit with the hope of that which lies ahead, a Jubilee and an eternal kingdom. Shavuot's purpose, to get us to the big picture end on a daily basis. Amen. And
a year off work.
Yep.
And every year we remind us we should have a couple of weeks off work.
And again, I think the picture is you can't do it on your own. No matter how much of the Spirit you've got, you can't do it on your own. You need community to do that, because we all have the same Spirit and we all have the same hope, and we are there to encourage and to bless. Because yeah, you're just not meant to do it on your own. Mm. You're meant to do it as community, body,
as a nation.
Yep. Yep.
And because they all grow different things, I suppose. That's where the sharing.
Yep.
With your neighbour and all that stuff comes from. Otherwise, you'll all be eating just bread all year.
Yeah.
It's 2 years. Wheat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spinach.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, your truth and your ways. Father, sometimes these things, these concepts seem so nebulous. But Father, we know that the truth and the relevance of them is important. And we want you to help us, Father, to appreciate them and to value them and to factor them into our life and our thinking in a way that helps us to enjoy and to be blessed by them. and not just do them because we think they're there to be done, but we see them as a blessing. We see them, Father, as something that is you put in place, that you may say, I honour you because you honour me. I bless you because you bless me. And I have given you Shabbats. I have given you Shavuots. I have given you Jubilees, so that you weren't created for them, but they were created for you. And we thank you for them, and we pray that the blessing of them will encourage us and help us and strengthen us and cause us to praise you and to honour you from the depths of our heart in sincerity and spontaneity. We give you thanks in Yeshua's name, who opened the door for us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.